My name is Brandon Patrick George. I am a flutist and I am a member of the wind quintet Imani Winds. I travel as a soloist and I am a faculty member at the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia.
So, Brandon, it is so nice to meet you, and we are thrilled to have this opportunity to speak with you about your new album, Twofold, which I understand is your second solo album. Is that right?
That's correct. This is my second solo album.
That's so exciting. Could you give us a rundown of the pieces on Twofold, the composers, and kind of the central concept of it?
Sure. One piece that I spent a lot of time with was the solo sonata by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, one of our great works from the Baroque era, late Baroque era. And it was a work that I had lived with for many years, but it was a piece that I came to that was sort of like comfort food during lockdown in 2020. And then in 2021, I began to do recordings and performances again, but it was mostly by myself. I wasn't really making music with other people. But around the same time, I discovered that the great composer Saad Haddad had written a work, Tasso Solo One, that was inspired by the Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach Sonata. And I said, oh my God, so cool. I should play these two pieces together. So I began programming them together. But then I started thinking about what other pieces could I pair together based on influence, based on inspiration. And so I was time with Toru Takemitsu, and I was playing one of his final works, Air, for solo flute. And I was thinking about the sound world that he lived in. And I said, what other composers are doing interesting writing like that? So I thought Peregrina Ismail, an American composer who combines her Western classical training with the Hindustani tradition and using scales and harmonies found in Indian music into her music. And so I said, well, I have to play Rina. But because Takemitsu was also influenced by Debussy, I had to play Syrinx. In the center of the album, we have Ruth Crawford Seeger, a great American composer known as the stepmother of Pete Seeger, but known for her work documenting American folk music for the Smithsonian with her husband, Charles Seeger. But she had an amazing career as a composer. She was a Guggenheim Fellow. She traveled to Europe and she wrote some great music. And I was playing her diaphonic suite during that time. Around the same time, I discovered that Sean Okpeblo had written a work for solo flute that was based on an imaginary conversation between a grandfather and a grandchild based on a painting. Now, in Ruth Crawford Seeger's work, she also was experimenting with dialogue and music, and she wrote in what she called a verse form, where every musical line was either like a rhyme or like a response to the other. And I said, wow, you have these two composers having lived about 100 years apart in Chicago, both exploring a musical dialogue through the flute. So those pieces have to be paired together. And so before I knew it, I had an entire album, an entire program of pairings.
So you focused on this idea of dialogue, which is really interesting. How does that dialogue manifest, I guess, in the music, since this is a solo album? Sometimes we hear the idea of dialogue like two instruments, you know, working together, but this is just flute, right? So is it really more of the difference in styles coming together?
Sure. I think it's a few things. I think it's the different styles coming together. But as a performer, as someone who plays the flute and breathes life to these works by these great composers, I feel myself as a vessel to tell their stories and to help their work come to life. And in my own way, I think about the sounds that I'm creating in each as reflecting their individual, unique compositional voices. So I feel like through myself, I'm putting these composers actually in dialogue with one another. When we're talking about the Western tradition, we're talking about a sense of form and structure that has been sort of developed over centuries. Also, tonality and harmonies that have developed through what we call music theory, if you will. Now, when you explore the music of the East and the sounds of these, you have to remember that there are completely different instruments. There's instruments that exist in the East, but they are different. They make different sounds. Also, the harmonies are very different. The scales that we find in the Hindustani tradition are far more vast than the scales that we find in our 24 major and minor scale classical music, perhaps, and even a little bit more when we venture into whole tone, octatonic, pentatonic, and things like that. You really get a lot of that. And it's very rich. And it's for me, feels like rather than in classical music, Western classical from as we know it, where you're supposed to exist sort of like in one world in any given tonality, because these harmonies are so rich and so complex, I feel like you live in many different worlds. When you're exploring music, say from Japan, when you're thinking about Toru Takemitsu and how he treats the flute, this Western concert instrument that's made now, mine is made of gold. And you think that he grew up with the sounds of the shakuhachi. So these flutes that are made of wood, of bamboo, of all sorts of things. And so the tone quality from those instruments is different. The notes, the keys that you can play on those instruments is very different. So I feel like in this album, it allowed me to explore not just one sound, but many different sounds. I didn't think of myself as, playing the flute in a way where it just sounded like this one sound, maybe my own sort of identity in terms of flute tone, if you will. But what kind of sounds can I get that really get at what the composer was hearing and that they were trying to replicate?
I was just listening to music on the album, and I noticed that there are files recorded in stereo and also in surround sound, it looks like. So was the intent there just to create this immersive experience?
Yeah, I think for me, one of the things that is tricky about recording is that it becomes so manufactured in a way you can't really imagine this person who's performing in the room with you. It sounds so perfected that it almost doesn't seem realistic. And I think for me, the opportunity to do a Dolby Atmos version, to do a surround sound version, is to really let the listener feel like they are very close to me and to my sound and to myself in the room. We try to keep it as natural as possible. We have the ability to get rid of so much sound. The breaths that I take, the sound of me breathing, the expressive gestures that just I might be emitting from my body as I'm playing the music. There are capabilities to take all of that out. But I think with the surround sound options, with the Dolby Atmos versions that you can create, it really does feel like you're in the room with a living, breathing being that's creating these sounds. And I find that to be powerful. So I hope that audiences, listeners, when they sit down and have a listen to the album, that they're able to really sense that it's an authentic experience. very real experience, and that they are in this sort of shared experience in this room with me.
I love your intentionality for maintaining that natural warmth and personality, feeling like we're there with you in the room as we're listening. And you know, speaking of personality, we'd love to just get to know more about you as well. You mentioned being a member of the Imani Winds. Could you tell us about your experience with Imani?
So I joined Imani Winds in 2018. So I've now been a member of the group for years, but this is technically my sixth season that we've just started. It has been a complete dream to be a part of a music ensemble that has transformed the musical landscape of chamber music in America, that actively commissions new works and seeks to bring diverse voices into the concert experience, that has championed outreach and education and valuing the work that we do in communities. And the work that we do representing people of color playing classical music at the highest level. I think to be a member of this group, a group that was founded by the great Valerie Coleman, an incredible flute, an incredible composer who, being a visionary, has completely she's transformed the classical music world. Her music is being played by great orchestras now, the recital halls. The landscape of classical music, chamber music, continues to grow and to expand. We serve on the faculty of the Curtis Institute of Music, and I love what we're able to do with the students there, working with these incredibly talented students, and helping them find their voices as soloists, as chamber musicians. And we tour full time. It's about 100 days plus out of the year that we're on the road. We're all based out of New York City, which is an amazing place to call home. But I'm so honored to be able to, in, I don't know, so many words, to spread the good news of classical chamber music across the world and to show what is possible with the wind quint. Because I have to say, before Valerie started Imani Winds, back in the late 90s, we did not really have a quintet in America that was comparable to the great string quartets. We had wind quintets, many who were residents at universities, but that were not maintaining a full-time touring schedule. And she and her four colleagues at that time threw themselves in it, completely invested, and really changed the field and what was possible of what would be possible for wind players to come and to be a part of that legacy. It's just incredible. It's an honor, and I feel very fortunate to do what I do every day.
That is so beautiful. And where does the name Imani come from?
It means faith in Swahili. You may know the Kwanzaa that happens around Christmas time, the African American holiday. It is one of the principles of Kwanzaa, and it had a bit of like a renaissance in the late 90s, when Valerie herself was getting ready to embark on creating a wind quintet that she did not know, she did not have the members for, but she knew that she had a name for it, and that name was going to be Imani. And that name is so powerful because it took so much faith in herself and her belief in what is power, what is possible in classical music. And she made it happen. She had the name before she had the players, and look what happened.
Something incredible for the entire country and beyond. I've been speaking with Brandon Patrick Gorge, who is a Grammy-nominated flutist and also mastermind behind the album Twofold, which is now available online for streaming. Brandon, thank you so much.
Yes, indeed.